Certainly, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Yeah. Thankful for this beautiful weather that we've got. We came out yesterday. Man, it was just gloomy as all get out outside. We know it started raining, it started pouring. But we was glad to be able to be here and be able to kind of see how all the piano things work and things like that. But I'm thankful for the beautiful day He's given us today. It's supposed to be a pretty day. And, you know, it's good to know that the Lord provides us. You know, sometimes we go through valleys and we go through hard times, but it's good to know that the Lord loves us enough to provide us a little sunshine.
Right. Amen.
Every now and then. Amen. All we got to do is look for it. Amen. In the life that we live today, it seems like everybody looks to the dark things. They look to the negative things. Mm-hmm. And the clouds are always what block the sun from view. And a lot of times if we just have the mindset of clouds all the time, we wonder why we don't see the sunshine. Yep. Amen. It's because we don't have the right viewpoint. And, you know, to be able to see the sun, sometimes you got to go higher than the clouds. Amen. Amen. And sometimes you got to get higher in your relationship with your walk to God to be able to see that sunshine, that light on the other side. And I'm glad that He's given us that to remind us today. If you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 127. I was kind of debating last night on what to do as far as the message, and kind of stayed up later than I normally do and try not to stay up that late, but sometimes it happens, and my mind gets wondering about things and gets to thinking and pondering, and then I go to bed and it's late, and next thing you know, it's 4 or 5 hours later, it's time to get up and go to church, and your mind don't really work properly on that less amount of sleep. So you just pray for me this morning. I'm going to try to do the best I can. But I found, you know, just like Paul said, when I'm weak, then He is strong.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
And in my weakness, amen, God sends reinforcements. Yeah. Amen. I like that song. God put that song on my heart today, because that one and the one that I sung before, that deals with a message today that, as far as I know, the Lord has led me in this direction. So Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep." Amen. Now, verse 2 there is stepping on my toes this morning. It's a little vain that I had to stay up so late last night. God gives his beloved sleep. And the Lord's already brought that to my attention, amen. And I've asked forgiveness for that. I've asked God to help me with that this morning.
Bless him, Lord.
But you know, it says there that He gives His beloved sleep.
Yeah.
He gives you rest. It's vain for us to worry and fret and have sorrow all the time, amen. Jesus talked about how, amen, that we're not to be worried about anything. Mm-hmm. Let tomorrow take care of the things of itself. And not to be careful for things, and because God feeds the sparrows, amen. He takes care of the lilies, amen. He clothes them, and today we're not to be worried about many things today. And it's good to know that we have a God who's got everything under control, amen. Yeah. We don't have to worry about what's going on tomorrow, because we know who holds tomorrow in His hands. But what I want to pay attention to this morning is that first verse, and it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." You know, a lot of times when we was talking about in the Sunday school, it's so amazing to me how sometimes, many times in fact, Sunday school parallels with what the message is. And begin to think about the Israelites and the Jews there, how their foundation seemed to be the law. But, amen, God, the whole plan that God had brought into this world was to bring Christ to the people and let the people see Him as the embodiment of the law, as what He meant for mankind to be able to achieve one day after a while. And it's good to know that God is the one that was instituted that. He's the one in charge of that. And, you know, and their foundation, they tried to build a house on works. Amen. And works will not cut it. Amen. No matter how good a person you are, no matter how much money you give to organizations, no matter how many good works you do in this side of eternity, that does not pay your way into heaven, my friend. Amen. It's what Jesus did. It's His works that are going to count. Amen. Because His works are righteous. His works are justified in a way that we could never be justified. That's why we no longer look to works for salvation. We look to faith in the work that Christ did on the cross.
Amen.
"Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it."
Yeah.
Amen. Unless God is the one that's a master architect of your life, then your labor is in vain if you're trying to do it all on your own. Amen. Because God is the one that's able to institute and organize things in such a way that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we can not really see or understand what God is doing in the midst of things. When Abraham was asked of God, was told of God to get out of his country and go to a land which he'd never seen before.
Amen.
He didn't really worry too much, it seemed like, about how he's going to get there. He didn't worry about the how. He didn't worry about the why. He didn't worry about the what. I mean, all he wanted to do was please God. Amen. Yeah. And rather than asking a whole bunch of questions of God, he just took up and left and obeyed God. And God sent him to that land. He had to go through different valleys and different ways to get there. But amen, God sent him to that land. And he said, if all the land that he walks across and he touches will be his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we do today, if it's not God that's the architect, if it's not God that's the master builder, if it's not God that's in charge of your life today, amen, you're laboring in vain to build it. Because why? Because it will fall apart if you try to do it on your own. You know, I'd say just about everybody in here has had something they've tried to do on their own and say, God, I want to do this and I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. We might not say that, but we might have that kind of attitude. And we find out not too long after that it falls flat on our face and it just blows up in our face. Why is that? Because God wasn't the master architect behind that. I hear this story one time of a boy that had a shoe and he got in such a knot that he couldn't figure out how to get out of the shoelace. And he took it to his daddy and his daddy was trying to work on it and get the shoe fixed and everything. And the boy just kept trying to help his daddy out. He kept trying to get a hold of them laces and say, let me help you, Daddy. And the daddy finally said, well, son, I can't do anything with it as long as you're messing with it.
Yeah.
Now, you've tried that. How's that working out for you?
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until the son had to completely let go of that problem that he had that the daddy, amen, the father could take a hold of that knot that it got itself into and be able to unravel that thing so that shoe could be able to work the way it was designed to. And it's not until you let God the Father have your problems and knots in life that you're going to be able to work those things out, because He's the one that knows the whole pattern of the whole thing. Amen.
Amen. That's true.
Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain.
Yeah.
And except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain.
Yeah.
That build it. I was reading that this morning. I was reminded of a story about Jesus, what he said over here in Luke chapter 6. And he said in verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. In Matthew chapter 7, it was kind of the same verses, but he kind of added a little bit something else to it. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but him that doeth the will of my Father.
Yeah.
And so he's illustrating here, here's what I liken you, if you hear my words and do them.
Yeah.
In verse 48 he says, he is like a man which built an house, and he digged deep.
Yeah.
And he laid the foundation on a rock. Amen. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. What's your foundation?
Yeah.
He laid the foundation. This man, he digged deep. He laid the foundation of his home on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it.
Yeah.
For it was founded upon a rock. Amen. Here's a man that Jesus says, if you'll hear my sayings, and not only hear them, but do them. Amen. James talks about not being hearers of the word only, but a doer of the word.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you'll do whatever I tell you to do, in other words, if you'll be obedient to the master shepherd, the good shepherd, amen. See, when Jesus tells us to do something, he is a shepherd trying to guide his sheep into the right path. He's trying to lead you into pasture where you can lay down and have peace and have rest. Amen. But a lot of times, just like in the old Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, I believe it is, where it says, seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. The sheep, they said, we will not walk therein.
Amen.
He said, that's where you're going to find rest of your soul. Right. Follow the shepherd. He knows the way. He said, this is a man that is like he has built his house and he put the foundation of the house on the rock. He digged deep, and he found that there was a rock down there that was so big it was already in the ground, so it was secure, it was anchored. And when the flood rose, the rock was underneath the flood. Amen. So it was already established. Another place he said that when the winds came and the earthquakes and all these other natural catastrophes, no matter how hard they tried to hit, that rock was solid.
Amen. Yeah.
We talked about chief cornerstone today.
Yeah.
As Jerry says, Indian in the Bible, chief cornerstone. We talk about Jesus being the rock. Paul said that the rock that followed them in the wilderness was Christ.
Yep.
He was always there before the foundation of the world, before the first word was pinned on this page.
Amen.
Christ was already there. So he said, I'm going to liken this man that does my sayings, not just hears them, but does them, is obedient to the shepherd, like a man who builds his house on a rock.
Amen.
You'll see storms, you'll see winds, you'll see rain, you'll see floods, but it won't shake your foundation because you built on a rock.
Right.
But notice the other thing. He says, but he that heareth and doeth not. See, a lot of people are hearing today.
Yeah.
But what are they doing about it? They hear the word of God, but what are they doing about it? Are they applying it to their life?
Mm-hmm.
Are they finding that it's proven itself to be true and sure and steadfast?
Yeah.
Unmovable, like a sure foundation.
Amen.
He says, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Yep. Matthew over there calls it the sand.
Yep.
Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Now I want you to notice there's two different words he uses. The first one he said, the flood arose, then the stream. The stream, you know what a stream is. It's a little creek. It's a little bitty old pathway of water. Couldn't really do a lot of harm. But he says, if you don't have a foundation, well, for one thing, he didn't just build his house on the earth. He didn't have a foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's like building this church without a rock or foundation underneath it. It's subject to all kinds of insecurities. There's no structure. There's no anchor that will hold the foundation, that will hold the structure upright. So you can just imagine just a house of cards, if you will.
Amen.
These walls are just like cards. And if they don't have something anchoring them below that, they're going to lean and sway and it'll fall in upon you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's lives are like that today. They don't have Christ as a foundation. They're trying to build on their works. They're trying to build on their mommy and daddy's religion. They're trying to build on their jobs. They're trying to build on all kinds of things and saying, well, this maybe this will work.
Yeah.
It all has to do with self.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can buy my way to heaven. Maybe I can work my way to heaven. Maybe I can be grandfathered in because my mommy and daddy was Christians. Don't work that way.
Yeah.
I can't go out here and build a house without a foundation and expect it to stand steadfast.
Right.
But yet people are doing it every day. People are building their lives on things that are subject to decay and subject to ruin.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus said, lay your treasures not on this earth, but lay them in heaven where moth and does not corrupt and rust does not corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal over there.
Amen.
What's your foundation this morning? The stream, the little old flow of water beat vehemently against this house.
Yeah.
And it was so weak that a little stream knocked it over. So either you're doing the things of Christ and doing the commandments of God in the sense that what He had said, what Jesus had said, and you're having a strong foundation and you're not only just building, but you're growing.
Amen.
Or you're not. And whatever you put your hand to do just falls and crumbles in your hand. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless you have the Lord as a master builder. You remember, Jesus was a carpenter. Carpenters know how to build things that will last, that will stand the test of time. Melissa watches these house shows on TV a lot, and a lot of times you'll find houses that are hundreds of years old, ancient, centuries old.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are ready to fall apart, but they've got a good foundation a lot of times, and that thing has stayed and stood the test of time. Now, nothing on this earth is forever. You can't expect to build a house and it lasts forever. But what's eternal is forever. Or are we building on the things that are eternal?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I remember in Matthew chapter 16 here, he was addressing Peter, Jesus was, and he was asking his disciples, you know, what do men say that I am? Some say, well, Lord, you're John the Baptist, resurrected. Or you're the spirit of Elijah. Then he asked them point blank, you know, what do you say that I am? And that's what Jesus is asking everybody today. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? Is he your rock? Is he your foundation? Or is he just some prophet among the other hundreds of prophets that have been walked this earth? Who is he to you? He asked Peter that same question. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes, amen.
He was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, who he said he was, the Messiah they was looking for ever since basically time began.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
You can only get this kind of information and revelation directly from God. And he says, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Now he's having an exchange with Peter here. He says to Peter, Who do you say that I am? Well, you're Jesus, Son of God. And now Jesus returns a favor. Well, here's who I say that you are. He says, Thou art Peter. Peter means a stone.
Yeah.
Jesus is the rock. Peter is a stone.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about us being lively stones, chipped off of the rock, so to speak. This is important to get. A lot of people misunderstand this chapter. He says, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, before you start wondering about that, Peter is not the rock that he's referring to. That's the whole Catholic faith, is that Peter was the church. Peter was not the church. Peter was not the foundation of the church. Because just after this, Peter rebuked the Lord, and Jesus said, Get behind me, Satan.
Yes, amen.
And this was even before Peter denied him. I hate to tell you, but if Peter was the foundation upon which the church was built, they already failed 5 verses down below this.
Amen.
Jesus is the rock. The only person in the Bible ever referred to as the rock is Jesus and God.
Yep.
Not Peter. He's having an exchange with Peter.
Yep.
Peter, who do you say I am? Alright, well here's who I say you are. You're a stone. You're a part of this rock. But you're not the rock. He says, And I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Because he knows that Satan's about to enter the picture. And I believe he's directly calling Satan out right here and saying, No matter what you try to do, Satan, you're not going to prevail. Why? Because it's built upon the solid rock. The foundation. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Later on he's talking about, he says, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's got an inner circle of disciples whom he tells things that nobody else has access to.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peter took him and he said unto him, began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I believe he was trying to tell Peter here, You're just a man. You're a stone. You're just a man, an ordinary man. I'm the rock. And so, yes, Peter would have failures. He would have times where he would fall short. But the Bible says all have fallen short. All have sinned. And maybe in the moment of time where Peter denied the Lord, maybe it came back to his memory that I'm just a stone, but Christ is the rock.
Amen.
Maybe while he went bitterly and began to repent, he began to remember that Christ was the rock. And that yes, he had failed, but the church was built upon him, the rock, and not Peter. The foundation is what the point is. If your foundation is a man, if your foundation is a job, if your foundation is your husband or your wife, they can let you down.
Mm-hmm.
But if your foundation is Christ, if God is building your life, then your labor is not in vain. If God is the one behind the scenes making it all happen. Right. You see, recently in my own life, I've been growing, learning about what it means to allow God to be the business owner in my business, right, or be the conductor in my life. And you know, God does business unlike the world does business. He said, my peace I'll give you, not as the world giveth. You know, God does things not as the world does.
Amen.
He takes the foolish things and He confounds the wise. He takes the weak things and He confounds the mighty.
Right.
So a lot of times God will give you ideas, or He will give you suggestions, or He will give you commands that don't make a lick of sense in the world.
Amen.
You say, well, I've heard it like this all my life. Now God's telling me to do this. Well, you better go with God.
Amen.
Because He's the foundation.
Amen. Yep.
He's the point where everything, that's ground zero. We all knew that term after 9/11. Ground zero. That's where it all happens and where it all starts.
Bless
and if you don't have ground zero, and God is your ground zero, is your foundation, everything after that's going to fall apart.
That's right.
So what are you building on today? What is your life being built upon? What's going on in your life that you can give to God and that you can be closer to God today? If the Lord is not building the house, your labor is in vain.
Amen.
And if He's not building your life, then your labor is in vain.
Right.
Because everything you strive to do will not be counted for anything. Only what is done for God counts in eternity. I feel like I cleared my heart this morning. I hope that you've got something from the message. Amen. If nothing else, this message was for me. It keeps me in check. You know,
amen,
sometimes, Brother Jerry, sometimes the message is not to the preacher to say, well, you're doing wrong.
Right.
Repeat it. Sometimes it is, keep yourself in check.
Yep.
Because you might be tempted later on to forget about the foundation.
Amen.
To just get wrapped up in the things of the world. And it's so easy to get wrapped up because the world is bombarding the church today. Cell phones, notifications, Facebook, internet, all this other stuff. You can't escape from any of that. And that's why I don't like, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with having a Bible on your phone. I've got one on my phone whenever I need to search for something. It's real convenient. But guess what else is on your phone? Notifications, Facebook, all this other stuff. It tries to draw your attention away from the Word.
Yeah.
But if you have a good old King James Bible, amen, in your hand that flops around when it's good news.
Yeah.
And it does stuff like this. When you get ready to use it, you can bend the spine like that and not have to worry about it. Man, there's just something about that.
Right.
You, Facebook can't bother you on this. My email notifications can't bother me on this. I turn it on do not disturb. I turn it on silent. You can turn the thing off and turn the Lord on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good to have the Lord on all the time. You don't have to put Him on recharge like you do your phone.
Right.
But if we just dig down into this, this is a foundation right here in itself. Foundation of everything we believe, of the Free Will Baptist, of any other denomination who is in right with God, will get their bylaws from this right here. They'll get their foundation from the Bible. So if you would, those that are able, let's stand and let's have a moment of invitation. You know, I don't know anybody's heart today. You may be dealing with stress. You may be dealing with things that have just, it's been easy to let the foundation just slip away and you try to do things on your own. You try to work out things that just does not compute unless God is in the equation. Melissa teaches math, and there's certain equations that have to be met a certain way for them to work out.
Amen.
And if God is not in your equation, then you'll never get a right solution.
Right.
You'll never get a right answer. God's got to be in the equation. He's got to be the foundation.
Yeah.
He's got to be the main thing in your life for nothing to work out. And so if God is not the main thing in your life today, then I invite you to come and make Him first priority.
Amen.
Yeah. C.S. Lewis, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia and Mere Christianity, and he was an atheist before he became a Christian. And after he became a Christian, he became a profound leader in the Christian apologetics and the Christian field. He was quoted one time as saying, if we put first things first, then second things come with them.
Yeah.
But if we put second things first, then we lose both first and second things.
Amen.
If God is not first in your life, then you're losing out.
Amen.
Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here lately I've been trying to seek Him first in all that I do. Sometimes I wake up and I've got to head right out the door. I don't have a lot of time. I like it on those days where I can have a little bit of time to go in the back room, light on a little small light, and just crack open the Bible or crack over a devotional or something that will get me closer to the Lord. That would be my foundation for the day.
Yeah.
You can take it many different ways. If you're not starting your day with the Lord, then your foundation's out of whack. So if you have anything on your heart today, if this has touched you in any way,
amen,
and you feel like you can move up or you need to move up, then don't wait. Don't wait till you get home. Do it now. Make it priority now. Start it now. This is the new year. A lot of people like to make New Year's resolutions. Most of the time they fail. But that doesn't mean you can't make a change today,
amen,
and start try to make it a habit every day.
Amen.
If anybody needs to come, this altar's open while she plays it a little bit longer. Search your heart today. Only you and God know what's going on down inside. I must tell Jesus all my burdens. Amen. You got something to tell the Lord today? He's got an ear that's open and willing to listen. Jerry quotes the scripture all the time about, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice. God will hear today if you're sincere in your heart. He's ready and willing to answer.